This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
That was a truly lousy loss by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
Like a really putrid performance, I would say. To be at home with more rest and then have Curry go out, that Warriors team without Curry is not good. And they were struggling to score, you know, and it was a real labor for the Warriors to score in the second half. One of the most honest post-game interviews you'll ever see is Jimmy Butler after that game. He said, well, what'd you get out of this game? Steph Curry's our best player is what we got out of this game. And for Minnesota to lose that game at home in that setting, like, I don't think it's – like, I think the Cavs had a more destructive loss last night.
Right.
And a more loss that's more of a gut punch. But, like, that was just – it would have been a lousier loss. Like, that was just really bad by them last night.
And Chris Finch, who you like,
I do.
He had some pointed words for – Ant after that one, not just about his play, but sort of about the way his energy and all of that. What did you make of that?
You know, you don't always see that, a coach sort of calling out a star player like that. And on some level, I mean, it's an honest response, but there's also an element of strategery in it, right?
Right.
And so is that going to get the best out of him or not? That Chris Finch can judge that better than me, which doesn't mean he'll judge it correctly. So we'll find out. I mean, Edwards did have, I think he had 20 points in the second half.
Yeah, but
in the second half. He only had one point at halftime.
Right, yep.
So he had 22 points in the second half. He sort of came alive a little bit in the second half and was started like going to the rack. But he was just settling for a bunch of jumpers, and I thought playing sort of a lackadaisical game in the first half. Barkley called him out for that at halftime, I think, correctly. And Edwards needs to take over the series, you know? If Curry either can't go or is diminished when he plays, the Wolves should still win the series. That Golden State team without Curry, it just doesn't have it. But they can still beat Minnesota if they're not going to show up.
Well, and they obviously don't have it without Curry. It was still Jimmy Butler in the way that he sort of controlled the pace. Buddy Hield obviously,
yeah.
Buddy Hield supplied the points that they needed, and Draymond was really good. They're not scary, but they certainly, I mean, they had, you know, Draymond and Jimmy Butler are paid to do that, and that's what they did, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, Draymond hit all kinds of crazy threes in the first half. Not crazy threes, but for him, I mean, they're crazy.
Right.
My main reaction to that game is that game two of the Western Conference Finals is tonight.
One of these teams can Is that, would you feel that way if it were Minnesota and Denver that emerge?
You know, I think Minnesota has certainly the ability to beat Denver. I'm just sort of maybe too down on them based on that one game. I certainly think, I mean, they beat Denver last year in the playoffs.
Right.
And their team construction is pretty good for Denver, as Denver will tell you. But I think we love Mike Conley. He's just, he's just, I mean, he's nearing the end here. Julius Randle is the guy who has good games, but you don't really know if you trust him. And so I just don't know how much I trust that Wolves team as you go deeper and deeper, you know?
What, by the way,
a lot more.
Is Randle up after this year? He's got a player option? What's his, like, what
he's
is
gonna
the...
Play, he's got a player option for, like, $30 million, yeah.
And then Gobert?
So I don't know which way that's going to go.
And Gobert? Gobert's
got more he's got more years. I don't know. I don't have it committed to memory, but he's under contract.
So they redid Gobert's contract before the year, right, Chris?
Is that right? So, okay.
There's something like that. He has multiple years left, I think.
So the way that the schedule goes, there's one-day breaks between the first up through games one to four in that series. Then there's a three-day break before game five. So it feels like if Steph, you know, who knows, maybe that will provide an opportunity for him.
If you can get to game five 2-2,
right?
If you're the Warriors, let's just assume you lose game two. Maybe you get a split at home even without Curry, and you're 2-2 with a best of three.
Two
and you
of
got
plan,
Steph Curry
yeah.
back. Yeah,
is it diminished? Is it diminished Steph though? Here's the question: do you believe they will win a game without Steph? Where they don't have Steph, will they win another game where they do presuming they play more games here without Steph from beginning to end, do you believe they can win those games or will win one of those games?
I think that they shouldn't win a game without Steph in the series. But I'm not gonna say they won't.
Right.
That's sort of up to Minnesota. I think if Minnesota plays up to its capabilities, they should not lose to a Warriors team without Steph Curry.
Yeah, so the Warriors were trying all kinds of stuff last night because they were obviously with the diminished lineup. You got a little bit of Kuminga back in there last night. And then you got Pat Spencer running around.
Creating havoc.
Is Pat Spencer, what Cam Spencer can be for the – I mean, what do you think of the Cam Spencer's future here? They seem to – he's a dog. No, he's not just a dog. He's a grizzly bear. He's a damn grizzly bear.
If you want to see – the absolute best case scenario for Cam Spencer, it was on display last night.
Yep.
It was on display last night in the other game. And that was Sam Merrill.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Cleveland.
Former Grizz.
That is the absolute best case scenario for Cam Spencer is Sam Merrill. Would be great.
Yeah.
But,
which
you
would
know,
be great.
That guy's popping off hitting, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 threes or whatever it was in a playoff game, you know?
Yeah. All right. So there's that one. We move on to the next one, which is, as you said, the bigger gut punch. It was also, let's get your initial thoughts on that game.
I mean, that's one of the brutal, for a game that's not an elimination game,
right.
That's got to be one of the most brutal playoff losses for a home crowd to experience, man. I mean, you're already down one. It's sort of a must-win game. You're missing three key players, including, you know, two of your three best players in Mobley and Cleveland. But, like, Mitchell's having this great game. You're up all game. You're up 14 going into the fourth. You know, they're cutting away to the bench, and guys are smiling and laughing, which, you know, well, why shouldn't they be? And, you know, like, you think, okay, we got this, man. We're going to even this up. We're going to get our guys back. It's all okay. And then to lose that game, and to lose that game in this crazy set of circumstances in the last minute or so, with the rebounded free throw and the offensive foul and the steal on the inbounds pass, and then I think Halliburton missed that free throw intentionally. That's what it looked like to me. I didn't hear people saying that, but he didn't shoot it the same way he normally does. And then to get the rebound and pop that three, I mean, that was just this perfect storm of, like, jab, 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 knockout. Like, I imagine people were just stunned leaving the building.
Yeah, whenever there's one of these, and the Duke National Championship game was kind of like this. The Atlanta-New England Super Bowl was like this. My beloved Buffalo Bills lost to Kansas City in 13, whatever, like this. They're, like, you go back and you just think, if only this one of these seven different things that happened, if only one of these one things had happened differently, it would have been different. Like, yeah, you have the Mitchell charge, the bad inbounds pass. No one can seem to seemingly inbound the ball these days. That's a perennial problem.
Right.
Maybe gets Eastlow off the hook. Yeah, the rebound off the missed free throw, and then the three. It was insane. It is also true, though, that it's not just that they were missing their three best players, and that
no, it was the two
or three best players. Yeah, they're missing three players. Three. It is also true that those particular players would have caused them to avoid, even if you could just plunked them down for the last minute. With the ball handling of Garland, they wouldn't have presumably have had the turnovers. With the rebounding of Mobley, they wouldn't have. Like, it is a huge gut punch. It's also somewhat traceable to the guys who are missing.
No? Yeah, then the one guy who's left, Mitchell, by the end of that game,
right.
He was not only on fumes,
he was injured.
He was clearly banged up, too. And so he wasn't, you know, and so that was just a rough, rough spot. And, you know, the injuries that these guys have, I mean, you're missing game two when you're already down one. And so it's not like you have some minor injury. Like if it's not some serious ankle injury, like you're playing that game. And so, you know, you wonder about them, those, or the turf toe thing. Like, that was not like, oh, we're up, we're going to buy time.
Right.
Like, they needed that game, and those guys weren't playing. So you wonder, like, how, if they're going to be able to play, and if they can, do play, how effective they can be in a game three.
Right. And obviously it goes back to Indiana. So that doesn't feel very promising right now for the
Pacers,
Cavs.
The Pacers you maligned yesterday might be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's
for a second 100%. Year in a row.
I'm a mediocre plus or whatever I called them. Yes, exactly. Yeah. All right, so one of the themes that is emerging is a theme that we've talked about all along and that you've talked about all along, which is if you get to the playoffs, see what happens, and you never know what's going to happen in terms of health. And we're seeing that right here in these two series, right? Play out before our very eyes.
Yeah, man. That's why, like, my thing has always been, like, unless you have LeBron James on your team, like, my goal is to be a competitive playoff team and then, you know, get there and try to be competitive, you know, and see what happens. And the thing about – the other thing is just a reminder of, like, these games are awesome. Now, at the end of the night, it doesn't feel awesome for the people in Cleveland or the
No, but the games are awesome, yeah.
right. And so, like – you know, I just want as much of that as I can get if I'm a fan of a basketball team, you know?
Is this, obviously we had three, quote unquote, we had three teams that won 60 games this year, but it also feels like parity, right? It feels like, it does feel like this is not your father's NBA.
As good as those teams are, and like the Celtics are defending a title, and Oklahoma City's regular season resume is one of the all-time resumes, right? And when you look at record and point differential and like everything else, one of the all-time resumes. When you think about your classical vision of playoff basketball, none of the three of them fit the classical definition of the overwhelming playoff teams in the sense that, you know, SGA is going to win the MVP this year, but like no one thinks he's actually the best player in the world. So that not only did none of the three teams have like that guy, they don't have, none of the teams have multiples of those guys, right? It's not Shaq and Kobe we're talking about here, you know. And so, as good as the teams are, they're more balanced teams that you can envision being beaten in the playoffs, you know, in a way that when it was Kevin Durant and Steph Curry playing together, like you couldn't. It's hard to imagine that those teams losing, you know.
Right, and it felt once upon a time, even back the Bird McHale Parrish versus Magic, you know, the collection of stars, Colossus one after the other, and everyone else can play. The Atlanta Hawks can be cute and whatever else, but they're not really going to be relevant when it matters. And it's funny though, because when I asked John Martin about this, who I just had on, he said, you know, what's amazing is you look at these teams and they all have superstars. Now, some of this is semantics. What's a superstar, right? Whatever.
Right.
He says there's 20 superstars, and I guess we could define 20 superstars. But actually, they don't. Like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's a tremendous player. If you put him on the Wizards, are they a contender? You know what I mean, right away? Like, I
agree, yeah.
You know, so is Jason Tatum a superstar, or is he just a star? Jokic is a superstar. Who else?
Right. Well, Giannis is, and look at that team. They've lost. They got that bounce in the first round. You know, I mean, the idea that the one player who, like, by himself guarantees you a certain – it may just be Jokic right now.
Right. Who's the the best players in the NBA are Jokic, Giannis, and who's the third?
It's probably Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, or it's healthy Luka, you know, or it's Curry, frankly.
It's Curry, frankly.
Like, it's not Curry over 82 games, but a healthy Curry in a playoff series?
Yeah. All right, so tonight we got two more. We got Denver OKC and the Knicks Boston.
Yeah.
Both incredibly compelling. Yeah, right? Yeah, both both feel like, I don't know, I guess most must win for the home team.
It feels like if you go down 0-2, that's the home team, as Cleveland just did, like you're not eliminated, but like you're in bad, bad shape.
Yeah, things are looking dire. All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. I think this is better, Jeffrey. I like this NBA better than the better than the NBA that used to be.
My only complaint with it is the bigger question that I see is why does the regular season feel like,
well, that's the problem. So different than this.
Yes. I know to a certain degree the playoffs have always been different.
You're 100% right. I mean, there's no question. And it is more true for the NBA than any other sport. Like,
yes.
Every other, we got modern medicine in every sport.
Yep.
Right? We got modern medicine in every sport. In the NFL, even though they've expanded to 17, every game matters so much, you just don't have, you know, load management.
Yeah.
You know, it's
every, I mean, the closest thing you get to load management is a
at
team.
At the end of the season or
right.
whatever else, and you're trying to be healthy.
And I guess
for
you could argue the preseason.
A preseason, yeah. But basically, you don't ever feel like if you're watching a NFL regular season game that you're getting anything less than their best. Yeah, that might be a bad game. They might have an off game, whatever else.
But they put their best on the
it's
floor.
It's not because they're mailing it in.
Yeah.
It might be because they didn't take their opponent seriously enough. That's,
sure.
That's possible. Or the Bills the last few years played the Pats. Pats always kind of give them a little trouble, and you don't feel like. So, but basically, they're doing their best. In the NHL, it's so damn physical that you're just going to get your ass blown up if you're not. Like, it's a little, there's a difference there, too. There's a difference between regular
100%.
Season, but it's not as profound. And you don't just show up wondering if Ovechkin's going to play tonight. You don't show up wondering, am I going to get Sid tonight? Am I going to get Ovechkin tonight? Same to baseball. Baseball, yes, it's a hell of a long season, but.
I mean, I guess
again,
you can make the argument that there's a scheduled off day here.
There are scheduled off days.
If you're going to see a three-game set, you're going to see your best player.
Yeah, it's not because on a whim they felt an ache that day. Whereas it just feels different. And I really do think the Grizzlies may have been smart. No, not even. Like, they do their fans a disservice when they treat the whole season like an experiment.
Yes.
You know? If they don't care, if it doesn't really matter, why am I paying $180 for a ticket to sit down, whatever it is?
And then also don't chastise me because I'm acknowledging how you're treating it.
It's they're not if they're by not playing guys heavy minutes, by sitting guys out routinely, by
playing guys that don't deserve to be on the floor.
Rotating guys, whatever. That's what preseason is for.
Right.
Do that. Do it preseason. That's what practice.
That's what the G League's for.
But it's not, you're right, it's endemic to the league. Okay, that part is not, I agree, that's a problem for the NBA. The fact that you've got all these teams, like I don't think the Knicks are going to win the championship, but it's, you know, you can imagine it in a way that once upon a time, if there were the Lakers of Showtime vintage, you could not, right?
To Chris's point, are you really telling me, like, yes, I agree with Chris that I think Jokic is the best player in the world, but if the Knicks wind up in the finals against the Nuggets, the Knicks have more depth. Like, they're going to have a path to winning.
Or look at it this way. I don't think they're all equally likely to get to the finals, but any of the four teams in the West, I can imagine getting to the finals.
Yes.
I can imagine it.
Yeah.
I'm not predicting that it's the T-Wolves, you know, whatever, but any of the four in the West, and obviously Steph would have to be healthy for this to happen, but I can imagine them getting to the finals. It didn't feel like that one. Let's be honest. The Grizzlies were in the finals. You couldn't imagine them getting to the
finals. I think it is a good
thing. When they were in the semifinals, couldn't imagine them getting to the finals, even though they made it to the semifinals.
We've gotten to the last few years. I think the most encouraging thing is we've gotten to playoff series, and maybe the team that you thought was going to win did wind up winning, but more times than not, we've had series where like, I don't know, man. And it used to just be, all right, well, we know who's winning this series. We know who's winning that series. And, like, we're batting, like, 80, 90%.
And it does suggest that all you got to do is get in the playoffs and be healthy. And, well, I mean, look at it. you know, Timberwolves a sixth seed. You know, Warriors.
We had a 6-7 Western Conference semifinal series.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.